T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Step drop, throwing left corner of the end zone, incomplete. On third down and goal at the 4, going for Galladay. He was double covered. He had to throw it out of the back corner of the end zone, and out comes Matt Prater and the Lions. So a bend but no break for the Bears on a very high tempo, well-executed drive by backup quarterback Jeff Driscoll. Snap and placement high, put down on the left hash line angle. Right, his kick is up, explodes off his foot, and good. Lions strike quickly and lead 3-0 here at Soldier Field. From center, fake handoff, rolling to his right, stops, here comes pressure, and he gets it away to Bowden at the 40 of the Bears. He's submarined by Floyd as he nears the 35. They'll call it the 36-yard line.
Oh, Danny Trevathan hurt his
Trevathan,
shoulder.
Trevathan, yep.
Left shoulder.
Off the field. Prater with the best percentage in NFL history over 50 yards is going to try a 54-yard field goal. On the right hash, angle left, flags are swirling. Here's the snap placement. Prater's boot end over end. Does it have the distance? It does. It's good from 54 yards. And Prater, with his success here at Soldier Field over the years, he missed a couple of kicks early in his career, but there he nails one for his 6-0 lead. The Lions, 7 plays and 13 yards. Second and 5, snap back. Trubisky looking to throw. Jacks the ball, looking into the end zone for Broniker. Reaches up, and he makes the catch. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Beautiful throw by Trubisky, and a great catch with Will Harris, the rookie on his back. Bears have tied it up on an 18-yard strike. Trubisky to Broniker for the touchdown. First and goal, 9-yard line. Trubisky under center with Cohen in the backfield. Trubisky on the take, flips it onto the left flat with a lot of room to run at the 15, to the 10, to the 5, in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Cohen! Touchdown, Bears! 9 yards on the swing, and the Bears lead it 13-6. Here's Pinheiro for the extra point try. Snap and placement. His kick is up, and his kick is no good. Pinheiro's extra point try, his first extra point miss, comes at that south end of Soldier Field. It's 13-6 Bears with that touchdown. Snap back. Driscoll winds up. Oh, intercepted. Kwiatkowski up with it at the 31 and left. And he's put down by Driscoll at the 25 of Detroit. Only guy there. And Kwiatkowski with the swipe in for the injured Danny Trevathan. Kwiatkowski with his first NFL interception. And it silences the Lions and gives the Bears another crack at the end zone here in the third quarter. Trio to the right. Snap is back. Trubisky, clean pocket, going to zip the ball down into the end zone for Gabriel. Right side of the end zone. Beats the coverage for 6. Bears extend the lead to 19-6 over the Lions. Nice whip throw by Trubisky to Gabriel. And 3 passing touchdowns on successive drives for Mitch Trubisky. Snap back, 4th and 7. Driscoll stepping up. Driscoll steps out of a tackle, running left. Fires into the end zone. Pass is incomplete.
Flag down.
As time expires, but there is a flag.
Illegal forward pass.
Here we go.
Offense.
Oh, okay.
Ball game. Fade to black. Bears defense holds 20-13. They snap their 4-game losing streak. Mitch Trubisky, 3 touchdown passes, and the defense does get off the field to end the game. And the Bears get their 2nd home win.
This is the Chicago Bears post-game show on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Now, here's your hosts, Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and James Big Cat Williams.
Welcome in, everybody. It is great to be with you after a Bears win. We haven't been able to do this for the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks if you throw a bye in there. So certainly feels better when you get a 20-13 victory. That said, guys, I don't know if this is going to be a celebration or a wake, because It wasn't pretty, and it should have been a hell of a lot easier than it was. I am Hub Arkish, along with James Big Cat Williams and Patrick Manley. We are live at Coombs Corner Sports Grill out here in Lockport. We've got a great crowd out here, guys. Thank you all so much for being with us today. We want to thank the folks at Miller Lite, Hold True. They have helped us spend the day out here, and Ron Coomer and the folks have been outstanding guests. We're going to be hosts, I should say, making us feel like welcome guests. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours broadcasting live. You can give us a call on the phones, guys, at 312-644-6767. We know Bears fans out there have plenty to talk about. Again, the phone number, 312-644-6767. Kat, Patrick, and I got to talk about it all morning. We set up a lot of things that we expected to happen. Very few of them did. I am glad that the Bears are 20-13 winners. Why do I feel that there's not a whole lot to celebrate here?
Yeah, there wasn't. You know, it got to a point in the game when they got up and you were just hoping that they didn't find a way to lose it. You know, and that's not the way that we came into this season feeling. So I think, you know, even though it's a win, it's something for, you know, Mitch to be excited about. This is another game where he's played well against Detroit. He completed some nice passes. But, you know, everything out there wasn't pretty. From the offensive line play to, you know, some of his throws early, there's still so many things that there's still, I mean, there's still so many things that need to be done. Yeah, it does.
It feels like a loss.
It does, but
we were talking during the game. It feels like two kids, like, stop fighting each other.
Right.
Just waiting for somebody to maybe land one and get the win, and the Bears did, fortunately, come away with a win, but it was just ugly. It wasn't pretty all the way around.
Nothing about the game, the play calling, the way they played, nothing about it made me think that, you know, they got any better coming out of this win. I mean, I know emotionally it's going to feel a little bit better because, yeah, you have a W under your belt now. But, you know, I can't see going and looking at this film and coming out of it saying, okay, these are the things that we can build on. We did not do enough stuff to build on anything.
They had 226 yards against the 31st ranked defense. I mean, this was a game where you think that, you know, you would see something close to, you know, flipping around, getting 350 like Mitch did last year against the Detroit Lions in Chicago, and they just didn't do it. They still had no flow against an inferior opponent, in my opinion. Offensive play calling, Matt Nagy got comfortable there for a little bit, then all of a sudden on a third and one, he decides he's going to trick him and try to make a pass for a first down. They end up having to punt when Taylor Gabriel falls down. There were just a lot of situations like that that just were not pretty. Another one that got me was coming into this game, the Detroit Lions only had 14 sacks. What did they end up with? Five against the Bears? I mean, that's terrible. And they didn't bring a whole lot of pressure. There were a lot of these sacks were just, they were even three man, dropping eight and bringing three.
Well, and guys, forgive me if this is piling on, but as much as the offense sucked with 226 yards, they gave Jeff Driskel and company 357 yards.
Who?
You know, They once again got beat in the time of possession battle. You know, I know that Danny Trevathan, who's probably been their most consistent defender, went down early, but Nick Kwiatkowski was the best player on the field all day long.
Yeah, he had a good game.
And I come away from this one, again, it's great to get a win. You know, that is important. That will help. That will help in the preparation in the coming week. But I'm now almost as concerned about the defense as I am about the offense. They got no pressure all day long. And that was after Ricky Wagner, the starting right tackle, goes out in the first half. You know, they couldn't really rush the passer. It's ironic that they get a win, and I can't put my hands on what they did well.
Yeah, you saw Wagner go down, and you kind of figure, you know, they're bringing in a young second-year kid, number 65. I can't think of his name right now. But they bring him in, and you think that, okay, the Bears are going to take full advantage of this. You know, they're going to line Mac up over, and Mac's going to do his thing. You see Mac get a couple rushes, then they put Floyd over there. But then you never really heard anything else about it. You know, each guy made a couple plays, but no impact plays. And that's what this defense is known for. You were looking for that big play to pop up, to just turn the game around, to give you that good feeling about the entire situation, and you never got it, whether it be offensive, defensively, or special teams.
And, Kat, we've played in games like this, too. When you get back to the locker room after this, yeah, a win is a win, and that feels good. You're back to 4-5. But that true, like, euphoria of a win and how hard they are to get on Sunday isn't there.
Yeah,
and I know people were probably asking, I want to know, too, is Club Dub open? Right. Or do some of the veterans say, nope, shut that off. We've got to get back to 500 to open up Club Dub, because it's a weird feeling after a game like that. Yeah, you pat yourself on the back and like, all right, we got one of 16 that we needed, but it's just not that overall euphoria where you walk in and be like, we handled our business, we did what we need to do, and they got the win. Yes, that's what they had to do, but they just didn't do it in the fashion I was hoping to see this talented roster do.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you bring up the whole Club Dub thing, because, you know, as a coach, you're always trying to find those ways to keep your guys motivated, to keep them going in the right direction. As a veteran player in that locker room, you know that you did not play well enough to deserve that, you know, that added extra little bonus that you get.
312-644-6767 is our phone number. We are being brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. We're going to take a very quick commercial break, and when we get back, we'll get right to the phones. So John and Joe and Chauncey and Ollie, Kurt, everybody on the lines, hang on. We're going to be taking your calls in just a minute. Right here at 670 The Score.
Four-man rushes. He takes and looks to throw. On his back foot, lobs it downfield. Robinson, the catch. Drifted away from the defender. Had caught the ball around the 39-yard line of Detroit. Great work by Allen Robinson on the catch of 33 yards. Darius Slay defending. Boy, was that an expert move. And a back foot throw by Trubisky.
Welcome back to our 670 The Score Bears postgame show, folks. We are coming to you live from Coombs Corner Sports Grill out in Lockport at 1225 East 9th Avenue. We're going to be here for another hour and a half or so. Great crowd in the house, so come on out and join us if you can. If you cannot, be sure and dial us up on the phones at 312-644-6767. And first up on the phones this afternoon out in Saugatuck is John. John, how you doing, bud?
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate all the information. But the comments I wanted to make is we have a real big issue on our draft. We have an issue with our, obviously, our offensive line. I think there was too much overconfidence that the line would be a lot stronger. We don't have a long that's healthy. We forgot about our three keys to winning, like Buffon would always say. I think we got to really retool. We don't have the tight ends that can block. So there's a bunch of factors there. But if I was at the Charger game, there was absolutely no blocking on that offensive line. It was really poor. And Trubisky did not have a lot of time. I mean, he's always under duress. The Detroit quarterback today, I'll take him. He's real good. And so that tells you a lot about the general manager. I hate to say that, in his drafting technique. I think he just didn't do a really good job, because a lot of these guys are busts. That's my comment, guys.
All right, John, thank you for your commentary, guys. And I mean, listen, John, I'll go first. That's not where I'm at right now. I mean, there are some players on this team that have been very good at times over the last year, two, three, four, since Ryan Pace came in. And again, when we sit down and do a reasonable evaluation of his draft, and what players have done in terms of awards, Pro Bowls, All-Pro, statistics, this and that, Ryan Pace has actually been one of the better drafters in the league, believe it or not, since he took the team over. However, the construction of this roster, guys, after where they finished the year last year, I think is a different conversation. And there's no question that the way they're playing right now, it's not enough. There's not enough talent.
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, across the board. We did, I thought, the O-line would play better than they did, and they did not play well today at all. And, Kat, I'd love you to talk about what you saw today from the tackles. You brought it up during one of the sacks. It's a technique problem that they're having.
Yeah.
You know, discuss what they're doing wrong. When you get in these situations and you hear you and Olin and O-Lyman talk about, you've got to go back to your technique.
Right.
And what are they doing wrong?
Right. You're getting a situation, and I first noticed it with Leno Jr. as far as he's getting his shoulders turned too soon. He's setting up for a blitz to be coming. He's blocking the guy off of the edge. And two steps into his kick step, he's getting his shoulders turned. So as soon as you get your shoulders turned, now you've cut down the edge for the defensive lineman. So now it makes that what was a good block for a seven-step drop, now it's only good for a four-step drop because you've turned your shoulders so soon. And I'm seeing it out of both of the guys. You know, you're coming off the ball, you're kicking back, and you're getting your shoulders turned parallel to the sidelines as opposed to keep parallel to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and it's all the way across the board, all five guys. And I'm not sure, you know, we argued earlier, and Olin's completely against moving Cody White here over to center. We saw the snap issues, and that caused some problems on some third downs,
right,
and I think hurt Mitch on some of those throws that he missed, and it just didn't look like it worked all the way across the board. Detroit was not bringing a whole lot of pressure. They were bringing three and dropping eight and still getting there and collapsing in that pocket like you were talking about, and they had five sacks. This was a team that had 14 sacks coming into this game.
Yeah, it was a team that you had to do. Like I said, man, there's not a lot of good there. I can't think of anything good that we're going to pull from this game.
Nick Kwiatkowski, that's it.
Well, the young players, Broniker, Kwiatkowski.
Right,
some guys stood up, and, you know, that's why I asked you earlier, do you think that maybe these young guys gave them a little bit of a shot of energy, a little adrenaline boost as far as, you know, making a few big plays out there? But, I think you got a peek into, you know, what's going on in that locker room, man.
Yeah.
Things are not pretty in there,
no.
Because you figure, like you said, this was a defense you were supposed to come out and you were supposed to impose your will.
And they kept talking about how good they are. You don't know what's going on in this building. You don't know what we got. Well, we kind of saw it today.
Yeah, and not impressed.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single-game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Let's head out to Indianapolis and welcome Joe into the program. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Hub. Good. Thank you for taking my call. Really big fan of you guys.
Thank you.
So the question about the offensive line was kind of already answered by you all already, but I still do have two questions. One, is Nick Kwiatkowski a franchise tag candidate, or is Ryan Pace still looking to possibly extend it? Because when he's played for Roquan and played for after Denny Trevathan got hurt, he's really stepped up. And then secondly, there was a play in the first quarter, I believe, it was a third and one, and then Bobby Massey had a false start, which made it third and six, and then Trubisky just threw an absolute good pass to Gabriel. Gabriel dropped it. Even on the broadcast, they said that was just perfect throw by Trubisky. So how would you evaluate Trubisky's play today, being the fact that he had three touchdowns and a passer rating of 131? Thank you, guys.
You know, Joe, listen, the answer is no. Nick Kwiatkowski is not a tag prospect. He doesn't need to be. If the Bears want to re-sign him, he should be signable. Nobody's going to overpay for him. And we should remember that 3 weeks ago, or whatever it was, 4 weeks ago, when Roquan Smith was a surprise scratch, Kwiatkowski came in and was probably the best player on the field that day, too. He is an outstanding number three inside linebacker. The issue that Quit has is that he's not overly athletic. He does struggle in coverage. He's not going to be a three-down or four-down linebacker for you. And so he's a really good football player who you want on your team, and hopefully they'll be able to re-sign him at a reasonable price. And I don't think anybody's going to come in and try and get into a bidding war with him. And so not really an issue right now. Guys, I mean, as far as Mitch, he played his best game of the year. I guess you could say that. I don't find a lot of fault, with anything that he did. I don't think he got nearly the help he needs. But it's not exactly like, okay, cross that one off the list. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
No, not at all. I just thought that was a game. Mitch played a game like I felt about that entire game, just a meh. He made some plays. There were some plays he missed. There were some passes that were a little high. The guys dropped it. They should have caught it. But you want more out of your number two pick in the draft from 3 years ago. I want a guy you win because of, not with. And he's just not being that guy. But it is frustrating as a Bears fan, as a former player, as us sitting up here, to see these flashes, to see that great throw to Ben Broniker. That was an outstanding throw. He threw it the only place the person can catch it. He made the throw. So you see these glimpses, but you don't see it for an entire 60 minutes, and you don't see him taking the entire team and putting it on his back. And at the end of the game, you're like, man, Mitch won that game for the Bears.
Yeah, and I think, when you go back and you look at it, like you said, you saw him throw some nice passes on the run today. You saw them call a few, plays to get him on the move and allow him to throw the ball. Why not call more of them? You know what I mean? You You know he's good at it. He knows he's good at it. We as fans know he's good at it. So why aren't you calling more of them? You know, he seems to get outside the pocket and have a little bit more confidence in himself, in the throws he can make. Even the one that was declared out of bounds, mm-hmm. it was a nice, strong throw to the sidelines, to Gabriel. You know, give him a chance.
I agree.
Give him a chance.
I think we're just finding out that Matt Nagy's stubborn. He wants to run his offense. He's not going to run what will help the offensive line by moving the pocket, help Mitch by moving the pocket. He's just not going to do it.
Put the fullback back there. Let Montgomery run behind.
Yes.
The other thing that we have to add, and this is where Mitch has his chances to earn, you know, brownie points, whatever you want to call it. You can't demand perfection, but the pass that he missed to Allen Robinson's got two steps on Darius Slay. If he puts the ball out in front of him, he's going 80 yards with it. Now you're up three scores, and who knows? Allen Robinson is probably the most mature, hardest-working, productive player on this offense right now. And he got up and showed a little peak, if you will. And for him to do that, that really was a – we all looked at each other and go, okay, I wonder who he's mad at.
Is he saying what he's saying?
And as long as Mitch is doing stuff like that, you do have a problem.
It's time to hold him accountable. And I have no problem with some of the teammates. You don't want to see it too visually during the game, but I wouldn't mind to hear about it that it's happening during the week in practice.
Yeah, guys have got to step up, and guys have got to – And I'd be quite surprised if no one has, you know what I mean? But you never know.
Right.
You never know if they have that personality in that locker room on offense that's willing to step on a few toes.
But, Kat, here's the problem. There's only one player that can do it who's playing well enough, Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson,
because nobody
else
is playing good enough puts a finger in his face and say, hey, we got to play better.
You're right. Yeah.
Even the head coach.
All right, guys, let's go to Evanston. Chauncey's on the line at Evanston. Chauncey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thank you guys so much for this opportunity to talk. I just wanted to say, give Mitch some credit. I know he people thought that he would have developed quicker than this, but I really think that he's a great player, and we just need to give him a bit more time. Now, to weigh in on what he did today, I honestly didn't think it was as it could have been. But I think that instead of just keeping him in the pocket and waiting for him to throw it, we should have him run out more often. And no matter if he runs or passes, it looks like he's been doing a great job with that kind of stuff. Most of the throws in the last eight games against like the Chargers and those kinds of teams have been him running out of the pocket. And he's also had some really great runs too. And I think that's a great way to take advantage of his athleticism. And one of the biggest difference between this year and last year was the O-line. And so I just wanted to ask you guys a question. What do you think of Cody Whitehair's position change this year? I mean, this game. Thanks.
Chauncey, listen, as far as Mitch Trubisky goes, I think to say he's a great player is obviously a bit of a stretch. I do agree, though. He showed enough today that you look forward to next week and hope that he starts to now take strides forward. That's what he is supposed to do. Guys, as far as the position switch, first of all, our fourth partner who is on TV now but will be back for the post-game show, which I can't wait to hear in the car on the way home. Anthony Heron and Olin Krutz will be on for an hour after we wrap it up around 5:15. Patrick and I were with Olin this morning. Olin was not a happy camper when it was made official that they would be switching Daniels to guard and Whitehair to center. That's the opinion that matters most. Olin got to say it before me because he's more entitled to say it. I couldn't have agreed more. I think it is insane that they did that. I thought it was a huge mistake. And look at the results. Once again, they couldn't run the football. And as Patrick just told you, they gave up five sacks to a team that came in 27th, tied for 27th in the league, sacking the quarterback.
Yeah, it's just and to go back to the Mitch point, Mitch, I just don't think they're using Mitch correctly right now. I don't see him becoming elite. He's not showing those traits. And we had Des Clark on earlier, and we were talking about Adam Shaheen going into his third year as a tight end, and that's when you want to see a guy mature and become really see who they're going to be, and you're not seeing that with Mitch. And, obviously with Shaheen getting benched, and that was an interesting move in pregame, and it looked like it worked out with Ben Broniker on that corner route for the touchdown. But Mitch is not showing that growth at all. He's not really learning an NFL offense. He's not learning how to read defenses. And one example I saw, I saw it, but I'm not sure exactly what happened. It was on a third down, he threw it short of the sticks. They did not get the first down. He goes over to the sideline, and he's looking at that tablet, and he was looking at it like he had no idea what just happened.
Right.
And you need your quarterback to know what's happening in front of him, especially on third down.
Yeah. My big question is, whose pay grade did this fall into that Daniels had to be moved from center?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Was this a Nagy decision? Was, you know, was this a pace thing?
Was
this a Harry decision?
Well, Kat,
whose decision is this?
Ultimately, it's Nagy's decision. The question is, did he come up with it, or was it recommended to him by somebody?
Right. Yeah. That's something I'd like to know now, because this is one of those things. Is did they just move? You know, did they move Whitehair back just to give Mitch a little bit of a security blanket to try and make him feel a little bit better?
It could have been, and you go back and look at last year's Detroit game where Mitch played really well. Maybe that's the film he started watching. Coach Nagy was like, I want that again. Let's just move those guys around and it'll happen.
Right.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break here. The phone number 312-644-6767. Steven from Dallas is with us again. Ollie, Kurt, Tom, everybody holding. We'll get with you guys in just a moment. Guys, listen, before we go to break, let me leave you to think about this during the commercial break. I don't pretend to be able to call plays. I'm not qualified to do it. There are very few who are. There's 32 NFL teams, and there's probably 25 good play callers in the world. But you do not have to be a play caller. I think Kat just said, or maybe it was Patrick, give Mitch some help. The fact that they refuse to line up in the I formation and run the football 20 or 25 times a game from that formation, which is working, is just maddening. It just drives you nuts. And then, you know, get him out of the pocket. He is that much more comfortable when he does it. He is remarkably accurate when he does it. I mean, I think he probably throws on the move as well as anybody I've seen except for Rodgers.
Yeah.
And they won't do it. You know, why won't they do it?
But doesn't it give you the feeling that every time Nagy does run it out of the eye, that he's kind of like giving us the finger? Yeah, I want it. Here, you wanted me to run the ball? Here you go. Here you go. Here's one time for you. Now I'm going to go back to doing what I want to do.
Well, you know what? As long as it keeps working, he can give me the finger all he wants. You know?
Right, but there was a drive.
But it's just the one time he gives it to us, you know?
There was a drive that you and I saw. They ran the I formation, got 5 yards, and then ran a single back set, went for negative 1 yards.
It's opening drive.
And you're like, run it again. Why not call it again? Why not? There's nothing wrong. There's nothing that says you cannot call the same run play twice in a row.
You're right.
And I know you as an old lineman, you would be like, all right, 6 power
that.
Row. I'll take 6 power
you
row again.
You love that.
Now we're at 3rd and 2.
You know, you come out the game, you start like that, you get that feeling in you, okay, this is the type of day it's going to be. All right, they're going to allow us to go after them. We'll do some things to get downfield later on, but they're going to allow us to tee off on them. And as an offensive lineman, that feels great. And then they snatch it out from underneath.
All right, guys, 312-644-6767. We are back with more of your calls in just a moment.
Snap on 3rd and 9 with a quad set. Steps up against pressure. Then Kwiatkowski meets Driscoll and brings him down at the 11-yard line. This time he didn't let him go.
Welcome back, everybody, to our Bears postgame show on 6-7 The Score. We are live at Coombs Corner Sports Grill out in Lockport. We really appreciate everybody who's been out today. Ronnie and all the folks here have been such outstanding hosts, and it's been a great day. The Bears do get a win. They get negative style points, but they do get a win, and I guess that is what matters the most. We're taking your calls and talking about it at 312-644-6767. And next up is Ollie, who is calling from Elgin. Ollie, how you doing?
Hello?
Hello, Ollie. How you doing?
How's it going, big guys?
Good.
Hey, we got a win. A win's a win. You know, it tastes good. As of right now, I would close Club Dub for the next few games until we earn the right to have it open. I never knew how much Akeem Hicks meant to the squad. And Adam Shaheen, that's the last time you should be wearing a Bears jersey. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, the word is Club Dub was open.
Really?
Yeah, Matt Nagy said they have the right to do, you know, they have the right to do that. A win is a win, kind of like Ollie just said there. You know, that is their locker room. They have the right to do what they want to do, but I'm not a fan of it.
No.
And I got a texter here asked me earlier, says, that was a win, right? Yes, it was a win. Kat, the one thing that makes after that win is that steak will taste better, that drink will taste a little better when you go out or whatever you do after the game. But when you get back in that building on Monday morning, you realize you didn't execute the way you needed to, the way you wanted to.
You're realizing that on the car ride home today.
That's true.
You are. Yeah. You're getting in your car, and you're on your way to meet your family right now, and somebody in the back seat is like, ooh.
That's the honest cousin.
Hey, right, exactly. He's sitting in the back seat like, ooh. Didn't think y'all was going to pull that one out,
right,
dog.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, I agree with you, man. But, you know, I wish, and not to say that no one did, but I just wish a veteran presence in that locker room would stand up and say, look, you know, I understand as a coach you want us to feel good about this win, but as players, as a group, we know that we did not do this the way we should have, and maybe we shouldn't be doing this right now.
Yeah, that's maybe the way to do it, is have coach turn it on and somebody, Allen Robinson, go,
right.
Nope.
Yeah.
Scratch it and say, we're done, guys. We won. Go enjoy the family. Go enjoy the night. But I'll see you tomorrow morning, and we're going to get ready for the next
game.
We've
played with some people that might have crushed a speaker or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even after a win like that, you're right.
Right.
Well, and you might be one of them.
and you know, folks, honestly, the truth is, no, a win is not always a win. I mean, you'd rather win than lose. There's no question about that. But if the Bears play their last seven games the way they played today, the only other game they have a chance of winning is the Giants and maybe Detroit on Thanksgiving if Matt Stafford is still out. I mean, they didn't play winning football, you know, and it's our job to talk about that. I'm not going to sit here and compliment them for not stinking worse than the Lions. I just don't know how you do that.
No, I'm with you. And if Matt Stafford plays this game, it's a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were missing guys. Their D-line was banged up. They were missing two safeties. They were on their fourth and fifth running back, because the third running back went out of the game. They had guys missing all across the board. Okay, the Bears have missed Akeem Hicks and Kyle Long all year. Danny Trevathan goes out. Nick Kwiatkowski played a good game. But those are really the major injuries they've had. And they still couldn't – well, they competed and won this game, but they haven't competed against anybody else when they've played against other teams that have had injuries, that have been banged up.
Let's get everybody up to speed on the scoreboard. The early game's all done. As you know, the Bears 2013 winners over Detroit. Baltimore knocks off Cincinnati 49-13. Cleveland gets a win over Buffalo 19-16. The upset of the day, the Atlanta Falcons go into New Orleans and smoke the Saints 26-9. I should have known that since the Saints were my lock of the day. The Jets knock off the Giants 34-27. Tampa Bay by a field goal over Arizona 30-27 in Tampa. And the second biggest upset of the day, the Kansas City Chiefs get knocked off in Tennessee 35-32. As far as the late games right now, Miami is up 3-0 in Indianapolis. Carolina out in front of the Packers 7-0, but the Pack was driving. Oh, looks like I got a Lambo leap there. They may have just tied it, or at least close
just
to
right 7-6. As you're speaking.
Yeah, we got the Rams up 7-0 on Pittsburgh. Tonight it is Minnesota at Dallas. 312-644-6767. And Kurt is hanging in, it looks like, Minnesota. Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in, bud.
Good. Hey, so piggyback off of the last caller to a degree. Yeah, a win's a win, but this was just an ugly, ugly, ugly win. I had this marked as a trap game. They played it as a trap game. I found out this morning that Stafford was out. I found that out, you know, early this morning. I had no idea. So it should have been just a rout. And it didn't turn out to be that way whatsoever. My question, I got a few questions, but where's our defense? We got a $90 million linebacker that, I mean, does Hicks mean that much to Khalil Mack actually being Khalil Mack? The other question is the offensive line. I mean, it is just atrocious. I understand Long's out. He's probably gone forever. I want you guys, I'm sure you guys will at some point. I will again. In the second quarter when we were down 6-0, Matt Nagy had the look of fear on his face when we were down 6-0 before we ended up putting up 7, you know, behind his little play card there or whatever. And to go back onto the club dub thing, this was a team that was projected by everyone across the country, including many on the 670 The Score, to be a Super Bowl contender. And you're going to club dub this win? You're going to club dub this win, guys? Come on. Come on. I'll hang up and let you guys go.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call. You know, I think the least of my concerns is club dub. I understand what you're saying. I understand what Pat and Kat are saying, and I agree wholeheartedly, by the way. I would not have done it. But you know, I'm sure that Matt's explanation tomorrow is I've got to give these guys something to feel better about. What I will say, and I'll let you guys answer his question, is that when you're on a four-game losing streak, there's no such thing as a trap game. I mean, you know,
well, you've already been trapped.
Yeah, I mean, there's no excuse whatsoever, having lost your last four, to come out and be as unprepared as they appeared in the first half.
I think if you look at the schedule at the beginning of the year, and I was one of the people on this radio station that thought this team had a chance to go to the Super Bowl or a long way in the playoffs. If you look at the schedule at the beginning of the year, yeah, it's a trap game. This is one I would look at and say it's a potential trap game. But not after, like you said, a four-game losing streak, no way. This is a game that's as good as they say they are, and they keep talking about, you guys don't know us in the locker room, you don't know the talent we have. They should have gone out and played a lot better against a depleted Detroit Lions team.
Yeah, you're asking them to show. No, don't tell me about it. Show me.
Show me.
And, you know, opportunity after opportunity, we're not being shown. That's what it boils down to.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We can line up a few more calls. We are going to get to Steve and Patrick and everybody holding. 312-644-6767 is the phone number if you want to join us on the phones. If you want to come out and join us in person, we are out on the road at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. We're going to be here until about 5:15. When we wrap it up there, it'll be Anthony Heron and Olin Krutz with the post-game show from the studio. Again, 312-644-6767. Give us a phone call. We're back to talk back at you in just a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.